We're going no huddle.
With the Midday Show No Huddle.
The best the NFL has to offer.
Let's go now, let's go! Set!
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Midday Show with Andy and Randy here with you on a Wednesday. Coming up in 25 minutes, we're going to get into a handful of different college football topics, including what Tim Tebow said about Georgia and Alabama over the weekend when he was in town playing minor league baseball.
Yeah.
Against the Gwinnett Stripers.
How'd he do?
I don't know. It's a great question. Really not sure.
I wonder. No. Well, we'll have to talk to our guy Tony Schiavone when he comes.
We'll
in.
Get to the bottom of how Tim Tebow
did.
Now, he definitely said some interesting stuff about college football, which is, I think, what he's better at doing than playing baseball.
I'm with you.
You know what? I like that he's chasing his dream.
Hey, and there's nothing wrong with it. It's just annoying.
Is it annoying the way that he's covered by people, or
yes.
Is he annoying for doing it?
No. Chase your dream. If you want to do it, always, never give up on your dream. But damn, the way they cover him, like, dude.
I know.
Come on.
I know. It's also a little bit of a conflict of interest because he works for the network that covers him that way. So they're kind of covering themselves, which they do. Anyway, we'll get to that in 25 minutes. The Wendy Zone at 11:40. We'll kick it off, though, with an NFL No Huddle brought to you by R.S. Andrews. Keep cool. Get an R.S. Andrews Precision AC tune-up. Another way they make you smile. There's a lot of different stuff to get to here regarding the Falcons, but we'll start with this one. This was on the morning show today. John Chuckery and Hugh Douglas were having a conversation about the Falcons, and Chuckery said this. You ready for this quote, Randy?
I'm listening.
If the Falcons don't have a Super Bowl trophy, this era of Matt Ryan won't be successful. Our quarterback, if he had a Super Bowl trophy, would be in the Hall of Fame.
Who said that?
That would be your guy, John Chuckery, who said that.
Oh, I don't agree with that at all, but I mean...
You can also hear that entire conversation on 92.9thegame.com.
And here's why I don't agree with that. I think Matt Ryan will... I think stat-wise will get him in the Hall of Fame because he's that damn good. But I think because of the fact that you have him and this team, if this team doesn't win a Super Bowl in this era, in this Matt Ryan era, it'll be a disappointment. Because this is, I think, the best team they've ever had. You know what I'm saying? Even the 98 team. I think this team right here, this era, this core group is the best that the Falcons have had in a while, if ever. And to let that go, I can say the same thing about the Bulldogs. This is the best chance you've had in forever to win a national championship outside of the game against Alabama in the when Mark Richt was here. You have a chance. You got everything you need for the Falcons. And every team has holes. All 32 teams are not built perfect. Everybody has a hole somewhere. But this is the best shot for them to win a championship. They're loaded. All right? And I don't care what none of your crazy lists say or old behind Gil. They are – no disrespect, Mr. Brandt, because I always have fun with Gil. But they are loaded, Andy.
They are. I agree with you. But that's why I mean, look, I think Matt Ryan's going to the Hall of Fame either way.
I do too.
Just so long as he stays on the – if he retired today, he wouldn't. But if he stays on the same trajectory over the next 5 years, he's going to have like 65,000 yards passing. He's going to go to the Hall of Fame. Like his numbers are just going to dictate that he goes to the Hall of Fame. There are quarterbacks in the NFL Hall of Fame that don't have Super Bowls.
Yeah.
And they should be. Dan Marino's in the Hall of Fame. Warren Moon's in the Hall of Fame. Fran Tarkenton's in the Hall of Fame. There's guys that have not won Super Bowl rings that were great players that belong there. And I think that at the end of Matt's career, he's probably going to be there too. But I agree with Chuckery in saying that it would be considered disappointing, not just this era, but that we look at eras based on certain players.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Certain players define eras in franchise's history, or coaches, however you want to put it. Mark Richt's era at UGA was a disappointment because he didn't get a championship.
Right.
This era right now is the Matt Ryan era. Julio, too,
right,
to a certain extent. Mm-hmm. But Julio seems to get a pass from everybody. And I understand that because he's a wide receiver and can't quite control it as much as the quarterback.
We know with the quarterback, we know they get all the credit, all the blame. I get all that. But I'm just talking about as a whole. I'm talking about this whole era of Matt Ryan. I put it in a group of this core that he has because this is the best. This is the best collection of talent he's had. And he
right.
had Michael Turner and Abe and Tony G and all these guys. I still think this, as it's currently constructed, is the best team he's had around him.
I agree with you. I think that's absolutely right. And I think Matt Ryan, so, okay, if we're saying that Matt Ryan is a Hall of Fame caliber quarterback.
Yes.
And he has the best group of talent assembled around him that he's ever had.
Yes.
And they already went to a Super Bowl before.
Yes.
So this one should be able to win a Super Bowl.
Yes.
If they don't, then that's ultimately a very big disappointment.
It won't be number two won't be the reason they won't win a Super Bowl.
Okay.
All right. He won't be the reason why they don't.
Okay.
Just like he wasn't the reason they didn't win that last one.
Absolutely. That's absolutely right. There was a lot of other things
yes.
that came together to make that game not won. But we all, you know, if fair or unfair, at the end of the day, if he does not have a ring, people are going to look back on his tenure as a quarterback.
Of course, because he was the quarterback.
Because
of course,
he was a quarterback of some very talented
teams. Not the fact that he had a ring in his hand and sure. He had a coaching mistake. They're not going to look at that.
Right.
It's Matt Ryan's fault.
Right. And again, fair or unfair, that's what comes with being a quarterback. All right. Speaking of Matt Ryan, tell me if this is disrespectful or not, okay?
All right.
So Madden 20 is coming out. Did you used to like to play Madden when you were on it?
I didn't play a lot when I was on it. I played a lot.
Seems like that would be fun.
I played a lot before I was on the game.
Yeah.
I played because I think maybe after my second league, I just stopped playing video games.
Yeah. Madden got so complicated.
Yeah, I discovered a lot of other things I can do in my spare time.
Yeah, more fun stuff, probably.
Yeah.
Madden got so hard. I remember the time when I stopped playing it is when you had to have there was like the quarterback vision thing, uh-huh. And you had to line up the yellow spot to throw uh-huh. the ball correctly or whatever.
Right.
And Michael Vick's vision lineup was so narrow, it didn't make it fun to play with Michael Vick anymore.
Uh-huh.
Remember, did you guys have this rule? You weren't allowed to be the Falcons in like Madden 04, 03 at my house. You couldn't because Mike Vick was a cheat code.
Oh, no, we didn't.
Yeah, you're not allowed to do that over
there. Oh, no, we didn't have all that.
You can't play with – unless you're playing – against the Falcons.
I just thought it was always
Falcons versus Falcons.
The crazy thing was when the guys would play the Madden in the locker room and everything and wouldn't play with us. You know what I'm saying? Like they played with everybody would play with the Patriots or somebody. We're like, dude, how you gonna play with them?
Come on, we play for the Rams, man.
We understand
that. I mean you guys were 1-15 that one year.
Yeah, but I mean everybody would play with that when we played with the Dolphins, nobody played with the Dolphins.
Really?
Yeah. Or if you play with them, everybody would be in the team lounge getting mad, like, man, throw me the ball up open. Like seriously. Whole lot of fun. Whole lot of gambling, too.
I believe it.
Whole lot of gambling.
If I was on a video game, I'd play that video game a lot.
It's pretty cool.
They need to make a sports radio video game. I don't know how that would work. Points for the hottest takes. Thomas Mott would be winning. All right. So in Madden 20, they made a list of X-Factor players. There's 50 X-Factor players.
Okay.
Julio Jones is one of them.
Okay.
There's also the list of X-Factor quarterbacks. I'll read them to you, okay? Are you ready?
Uh-huh.
Tom Brady.
All right.
Drew Brees.
Okay.
Andrew Luck.
All right.
Patrick Mahomes.
Okay.
Cam Newton,
okay.
Philip Rivers,
okay.
Your guy, Aaron Rodgers,
uh-huh.
Ben Roethlisberger,
okay.
And Russell Wilson.
Okay,
Matt Ryan not listed as an X-Factor quarterback in Madden 20.
Uh-oh, so Matt's got that extra motivation the rest of this offseason.
He's going to be working out harder.
He's going to be working out harder. You got to prove Madden wrong.
When him and Austin Hooper are playing catch at some high school in Buckhead, he's going to throw a couple extra reps.
Again, who cares? I mean, because think about it, even though he got beat up last year, he still had one of the best years of his career, man. I mean, he really did, and... And a lot of times, Andy, with anything in the world, out of sight, out of mind. Out of sight, out of mind. When nobody think about the Falcons after Nick Chubb took their soul up in Cleveland.
Snatched it from them.
When nobody thinking about it.
Let's not let that happen again. It's cool to see Nick Chubb do that, though. Just not against the Falcons. Matt Ryan's not worried about it, but can we be worried about it? I mean, that's disrespectful. He's better than most of those guys.
Has Squid Billy already subtweeted or quote-tweeted that already?
Where do they make the games at? Where is EA Sports located? Silicon Valley somewhere, probably?
That's the only thing I know.
I think Squid Billy's getting a plane ticket out there.
Squid Billy's going to fight
somebody. Conversation with some of those EA Sports nerds.
Matt Ryan, he's going to have an issue.
When somebody does something you disagree with, they're always a nerd. Even if you're a nerd, like I'm a nerd myself,
uh-huh.
But if someone does something like those nerds, they don't know what they're talking about.
So you're a self-defining nerd,
huh?
You define yourself as a nerd?
Sure, I don't care.
Oh, okay, I'm just curious.
Yeah, I'm like a sports nerd.
All right.
Yeah, no problem with that.
There's nothing wrong with that. I'm just curious. I've never,
Yeah.
Okay.
Gladly.
Right.
Not like a science nerd or anything.
You're a sports nerd.
I don't know anything about science. You said something about Venezuela. I'm not a history nerd
mm-hmm.
or a politics nerd. I'm interested in that stuff, but I'm a sports nerd.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair,
is that okay?
Fair enough.
All right.
Fair enough.
More Falcons disrespect. You ready? Another list came out. You ready for this list?
Yes.
Yardbarker.com
uh-huh.
had an article ranking the best fan bases in the NFL.
Okay.
1 through 32.
Okay.
Where do you think the Falcons ranked 1 through 32 in terms of best, most passionate, engaged fan bases in NFL football?
25?
Nope. Lower.
Really?
30th.
Ah.
Only two fan bases, according to Yardbarker.com, are worse than the Atlanta Falcons fan base. The Miami Dolphins?
Yeah.
And who's the other one?
Yeah, the Dolphins, they don't
show. The Chargers. Oh, the Cardinals. I was going to say, all the teams are in the
Hold on. They're from the Chargers?
No, not the Chargers. Yeah, they are in front of the Chargers.
I'm sorry, they're behind the Chargers?
Yeah, the Chargers fan base, I guess, is better than the Falcons fan base.
Whoa.
According to yardbarker.com.
Hey, man.
Now, here was the reason given for that, because that's nonsense.
Okay.
The reason given for it was because too many people in the city care about Georgia football, so there's not enough football passion to go around. Atlanta is just a college football city in a college football region, so there's not enough interest and enough energy to focus on an NFL team. It just, to me, sounds like somebody who's never really been here.
That just sounds like somebody that just made some stuff up.
Yeah, it sounds totally fabricated. So,
because I played in Atlanta. I played, in the Georgia Dome one time. And, I mean, it was rocking. It wasn't intimidating or anything, but it was cool. But, I mean, if you go back to when that championship run, because I always believe this. If you're winning, especially in this city, the fans will come out. They will come out and they will support this team, you know. And a lot of times I knew that, you know, with the Mercedes-Benz, the new bells and whistles and all that, I get all that. But if you win, they're going to come. They're going to show up.
But that's true in basically every city.
Except for Green Bay.
Green Bay, I mean, I don't know where else. Kansas City.
Yes.
They're pretty loyal in Kansas City.
Yes.
Seattle gets a lot of credit. It is the same as everywhere else. People talk about that fan base and that building and all that. Just go back to like 07 when they were trash.
Yes.
Or 08 when they were garbage.
Just like
No one cared about that team. No one was flying those dumb 12th man flags out their window. You go to the playoffs every year, you win a Super Bowl, people are going to get
just like
more
the Saints fans. Saints, that place.
They had bags over their heads.
They had bags over their heads, dude, before Drew Brees and them got there. You know, that that mug is loud.
It's loud.
It's loud.
Yeah, it's loud.
But yeah, I mean, I don't want to knock Atlanta fans. And
I think Atlanta fans are really good.
Since I've been back here and living here full time, especially working in this job, I mean, most people I know are dog and Falcon fans. Most dog fans are Falcon fans.
Yeah.
You know, so that's why I don't get that.
There's plenty of passion to go around.
Yeah.
They play on different days.
They play on different days. I mean, and I'm sure that team, that school up the street from here, I'm sure a lot of those alumni are Falcon fans too.
Hey, they had Phil Steele on the morning show today.
Yes.
And obviously Phil Steele is amazing.
Yes.
The magazine he puts out is the best, I think, of all the college football magazines.
Yeah. By the way, where's ours? Because they told me that they order them for us. Sean.
Oh, who was in charge of that?
I don't know. Somebody just told me. Because I said, I got to go get Phil Steele's book. Is it out? They were like, oh, no, we'll get him for you.
The boss probably has him with him.
He probably has him in his office locked.
Yeah, locked. That door hasn't been. That door might not work anymore.
Yeah.
I think they might have painted it shut. but they had Phil Steele on for 15 minutes. And there wasn't a single solitary Georgia Tech question asked.
I mean, I wouldn't ask, who cares? I mean, man, I'm not studying Tech.
He talked about the Utah Utes for 90 seconds.
Yeah, nobody worried about Georgia Tech. But again, I'm going to stop messing with Tech because I like the Coach Collins hire.
Me too.
I love what he's trying to bring back to. Well, I ain't going
to
go that far.
That's fine.
I like what he's trying to build over. Are we going to have an issue?
No.
Okay.
You know who I root for.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm also going to openly be happy when Georgia Tech does well. I want Georgia Tech to do well.
Why?
Because they play right over there. I can see their campus from here.
You got better eyes than me because all I see is buildings.
Oh, I can see it. I got a periscope.
Yeah, all I see is buildings. All I see is buildings.
I root for every single Atlanta sports team to do well because I think everyone benefits when that happens.
Oh, good for you then.
Whether it's Georgia Tech, whether it's the Falcons, the Georgia Swarm, you name it.
Good for you.
I
ain't going there.
I know, that's fine. You went to Georgia. We understand that.
Yeah. But
speaking of another local college, Emory University did a study about fan bases as well. Now, theirs is actually based in analytics as opposed to Yardbarker, which was based in nothing.
Uh-huh.
The Falcons did better. The Falcons did better in the Emory study. They ranked fan bases based on three criteria.
All right.
They had fan equity, which is home box office revenue.
All right.
They had social equity, which is social media engagement.
Uh-huh.
And they had road equity, which is described as a measure of fan support on the road.
All
so
right.
How well does your team travel when they play in other cities?
Right.
Falcons on that list were 13th.
Okay. I, that seems more reasonable. Yardbarker, whoever they are. But, this seems a little bit more reasonable. I mean, if your team's winning, you're going to go. You know? I mean, and that was always a thing where when I was in Miami, you know, when we played the Jets, half the stadiums was Jet fans. When I was in St. Louis, when we played Seattle, all the Seattle fans came down there for whatever reason. I don't know. But and then, you know, and when we played in San Diego, everybody outsold us. I mean, it must be the Broncos. I remember Green Bay came, and it sounded like County Home. I mean, you have that on with every team. When the Falcons came out to San Diego, a lot of Falcon fans came. But it's San Diego. But, I mean, I just think it's all about where the location of the game is also.
I think that's part of it. I also think that this study is a little bit unfair because if you're in a bigger city, you're obviously going to have more social media following.
Yeah.
Like if you have 5 million people that live in your city, there's a chance if you just have a percentage of those people, you're going to have more people that are interested in following than if you live in, say, you know, San Diego. Yeah. Well, San Diego's a big city, but like Green Bay or something like that, Buffalo. The Cowboys were number one on that list, by the way. The Rams were 32nd on that list. That's interesting.
Really?
I think the Rams would be a little bit more popular these days, given the success
they've had.
All right, final story here in the NFL No Huddle. We'll get back into some college football topics coming up in about 10 minutes. Bad news for the Bengals. Jonah Williams is going to miss the entire season.
Yeah, that's crazy, man. I mean, they were drafting him to, you know, to be that left tackle. I guess they're going to move Cordy Glenn back over to the left side. But, yeah, he's got a torn labrum. I mean, the Bengals have had some bad luck with their first-round picks lately.
Yes.
A lot of them missing their rookie years because of this. But, yeah, it's unfortunate. And we were talking to Bullpen. You know, a lot of Bama players, when they come in the league, they're banged up because Nick goes hard, and he grinds on them. And I don't want to say that he toured at Alabama and all that. And that's why. But I'm not even going to speculate on that.
But it seems reasonable.
It seems reasonable because he wears them down, man.
All right, that's the NFL No Huddle. We'll come back and get into a handful of different college news and notes, including what Tim Tebow said about Georgia's need to beat Alabama this year. I mean, I agree with it. Is it different, though? Like, is it different this year than it's ever been before? We'll get into that coming up next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
92.9 The Game.
Because Nick goes hard, and he grinds on them.
Let me do what I want to do. All I want to do is make love to you. Let me do the fun.
We're going to miss you, Brian. We're going to miss
you. We're going to miss you, dog.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Midday Show with Andy and Randy. Wendy Adams and Brian Gebhardt producing the show today before Brian Gebhardt goes on what I believe is, correct me if I'm wrong, a 7-month vacation?
Yeah, we ain't going to see Brian until SEC championship game.
Yeah. He's going on sabbatical, like Bob Lee. Bob Lee just took 6 months off from ESPN. We'll see Brian in the SEC championship game. Who else will we see in the SEC championship game, Randy? That's a nice little segue
you made there.
Yeah,
you like that, didn't you?
Because, I mean, I think that we have our predictions. I think that the predictions that you and I will both make will be very similar to what Las Vegas would say and most college football fans listening would say as well. And if it does turn out to be Georgia and Alabama in the SEC championship game again, then I think Georgia has an opportunity to do something that they really need to do and something that Tim Tebow was talking about over the weekend. Tim Tebow was here playing minor league baseball. He's in the AAA system with the Mets now, playing the Stripers, obviously also an SEC network analyst. And he was asked a lot of questions about Georgia's football team and what they need to do in this coming season. And I thought he had a very interesting quote about the Georgia-Alabama rivalry and what Georgia needs to get done this year.
I think this needs to be Georgia's year. You know, just the way it's gone against Alabama the last couple of years, to not be able to get there again, it's not just that it hurts you in that year. It becomes a big brother, little brother type thing where you got to eventually be able to get over that hurdle and get over that hump. And I think this is kind of that year.
That, again, that's Tim Tebow from over the weekend. And I think it's really easy to respond to that by saying, well, yeah, Alabama kind of has that on everyone right now, except for Clemson.
Right.
Alabama's kind of everyone's big brother right now, and that's how everyone looks at it. But I think it's different, though, when you've played them and been so close to beating them the last handful of years, where, yeah, Alabama's Alabama. And since Saban's gotten back there and they've been dominating and they've won all these championships in the last 10 years and all this stuff, I mean, they're the gold standard along with Clemson right now in college football,
mm-hmm.
certainly the gold standard in the SEC. But I do think that other context matters. And I agree with what Tim Tebow said there. I think it could go from just being like, all right, as Kirby Smart was rebuilding this program and getting it back to where he wanted it to be,
mm-hmm.
seems like they're there now.
Mm-hmm.
To really be there now,
they got to win that game.
It's got to be a game that you go into as a casual observer and say, I don't know who's going to win this game.
Right.
Versus going into it and be like, damn, how's Georgia going to blow it again against Alabama?
Because
Alabama's got their number.
They do. And as a dog, I mean, you got to admit that they have our number. And what I mean by that, you can't finish. And I know that was, I still remember when Mark Richt first came in to Georgia, that was the mantra, that was our slogan, finish the drill. You got to finish I mean, that is what it's all about. You've been up on a team. You know you can play with them, but you can't. Playing with them and beating is two different damn things.
It's completely opposite, the same conversation.
It's two different things. Oh, we were playing with Alabama. Damn, that beat Alabama.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, because right now, to get to where you want to go, you got to beat them, you know? And also, you got to beat that team that's coached by Dabo Swinney. They're an excellent football team. I think Georgia is an excellent football team. But I don't think we're at that level with those two guys yet because we haven't beaten them. You can say they don't give out trophies for recruiting.
No, they don't.
You know what I'm saying? I don't care how many 4 and 5 stars Kirby done brought into the thing. What it got us? Nothing. Not nothing. But some highlights on whatever them recruiting shows are. That's what it's gotten us. You got a ring?
No.
I mean, we got the SEC championship game. SEC champion. Okay, cool.
Here's what it's gotten you. Because the SEC championship game, yeah, Kirby Smart was the head coach, but a lot of that recruiting was done by another coaching staff. A lot of that talent that was accumulated on that team was Mark Richt's staff that brought those guys in. What recruiting has gotten you, if there's something tangible that we could talk about that recruiting has brought to the UGA program,
is more attention.
Is expectations.
And that's what
higher expectations than there otherwise would be.
But here's the thing, just like my man Chuck Reed always says, we're in the championship winning business now.
Sure.
That's what happens when you fire Mark Richt and you go get Kirby.
Okay.
You're in the because you knew this and I knew this and I'd hope all dogs when Kirby got that job here, that expectation from what he did at Alabama came with him.
Oh, yeah.
It came with them.
The expectation, look, I agree that you're in the championship expectation business. I don't know if you're in the championship winning business until you win a championship.
Well, you know what I mean.
No business is really a business if they haven't done anything.
Well, I kind of meant that.
But you know what I'm saying?
But I know what you're saying, Andy.
Yeah.
All right? And what I meant to say was exactly what you were saying. You're in the business of trying to win championships.
Yeah, you're in the business of expecting to win championships.
Because that's where it should be.
Absolutely.
So I don't understand. I mean, the big brother, I agree with it, and which is a shame because it's the damn truth. We played with Alabama. Oh, boy, Georgia looks good playing with Alabama. When we going to beat Alabama?
Right.
So
right, this year, hopefully.
No, we're going to beat them this year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why? What's different this year? Because I agree with you that Georgia's got an incredibly talented team coming back,
mm-hmm.
but we talked last week about the Jeremiah Holloman it got expelled.
Yeah.
He was dismissed from the team. No longer going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we agree about the impact that has on the offense being not as big of a deal.
It's not
as it. And losing
JJ Holloman will not put our passing game to hell. It won't. All right. There's too much talent at that position. All right. Now all they got to do, because here's the one thing we talk about. Well, there's no experience. Well, hell, the guys that left, they didn't have any experience until they go out there and play.
True.
So, I mean, I'm not really worried about the receiver position. There's a lot of young players on there and a lot of good young players that just didn't get the opportunity because you had other good players in front of them.
Absolutely. And look, as far as what recruiting has also gotten you is the ability to say, yeah, I think that the wide receiver position can still be good.
Yeah.
Even though you lost your top five pass catchers from last season.
But when they say top five pass catcher, it's like you, okay, now if Alabama loses their top five,
yes,
you got a problem.
Yes.
Not Georgia.
It's one of those things that's true because it's technically true.
Yeah.
But even though it's true, it's not the biggest deal in the world.
It's not the biggest deal. Like, you lose Jerry Judy and Ruggs and all them boys. Okay, then you got a problem over there. You got a problem. I get it.
Yes.
We ain't got no Jerry Judy or Ruggs or them boys over there.
Well, that was the number one receiver last year had 570 receiving yards.
But again, that
we're not talking about a number one receiver
again,
who had 1,400 receiving yards.
That goes to the point of the philosophy of what your head coach wants to do.
It does.
We want to run the football.
Now, the fact does remain something that is also true, whether or not it's a big deal or not, we can decide. But it is also true. I saw a number out there today that no team that has been in the college football playoff has lost all five of their leading pass catchers the year before. Everybody who's been in the college football playoff has at least one of them back.
Okay.
Most teams have had two or three of them back. Some teams have had four and even all five of them back before they go into the college football playoff. But no, I'm with you. I think because of who Georgia is and because of what their offensive philosophy at least has been and probably still can continue to be by running the football, that it's not as big of a deal. But it is still true that no team has done what Georgia is going to be attempting to do this season. In terms of their pass catchers coming back.
Like, okay.
It's usually nice to have experience.
It's nice to have experience anywhere on the football field, but sometimes you just don't have it. And sometimes situations like this occur. I mean, there's guys on this team at this receiver position that ain't never played college football before that you're counting on.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I've seen. I mean, I don't worry about that because we're not a spread. We're not a spread, throw it all over the yard football team. If we were that, then I might say something. Oh, but that's not what we do.
Right. And that's one of those things, too, where, and I know that this is not as widely accepted across most of college football because most teams are going to spread offenses and throwing the ball more and having to rely on their wide receivers. You don't have to have a great wide receiver core in order to win in college football. Even though it's in vogue right now to do that, you don't have to. Georgia has won a lot of games the last couple of years without a great wide receiving core because they've got a great offensive line and a great run game.
Right.
It helps, but you don't have to. I think you have to have a really good pass rush no matter what you do.
What level you
have to
at.
Be able to get to the quarterback. So that's my question.
I worry more about the pass rush for Georgia than I do about the wide receivers.
Me too.
That's what I worry more about because that is the key to beating teams like Alabama. You saw that the times that we were hanging with Alabama, we were pressuring the quarterback. Mm-hmm. You know, and
the reason unfortunately that Alabama won the game
we
last
knocked
time
the quarterback out of the game.
They hit Tua too many times.
Yeah, and to beat Clemson, you gotta do the same thing. You can't, man, if you let Trevor sit back there, he's gonna with them weapons, he's gonna pick you apart. You got to find a way. And that's in any level of football, you gotta affect the quarterback. I mean, you got to protect the quarterback, you got to affect the quarterback. And that's my thing with Georgia is, same thing with the Falcons. Are you going to be able to affect the quarterback enough?
They asked on the morning show today when they had Phil Steele on if Georgia has elevated themselves to the pantheon of teams that can make the college football playoff without winning the SEC championship. Mm-hmm. So if they were to go 12-0 this year, make it to Atlanta, play Alabama or whoever,
right,
lose that game, still be able to get into the college football playoff?
Mm-hmm.
I think so.
Yeah.
You go 12-0 going into that game, especially because you're going to beat Notre Dame this year. If that's the case, then you're getting into the college football playoff.
They would have got in last year. They didn't lose Louisville.
Yes.
I mean, sorry, LSU. Yeah, they would have got in. They lose LSU last year.
They would. And they almost got in even though they did lose to LSU last year.
So if they don't lose that LSU game, they're in.
Yeah. And a big part of the conversation coming out of that has been the scheduling, the non-conference scheduling that Georgia has gone about compiling this offseason, the last couple offseasons, but this one specifically, adding teams like Clemson and Oklahoma and Oregon and all kinds of stuff to their future schedules. And we had some theories as to why they maybe did that. And I threw my theory out there. I don't want to sound like a jerk about it, so I said it, but then we talked about all the other stuff, wanting to be competitive and all that, which matters. My thought was, it's a lot easier to expand your non-conference schedule if there's going to be an 8-team playoff.
Right.
It's less detrimental to lose a non-conference game to Oklahoma or whoever you might play if you can have two losses and get into an 8-team playoff. Well, Greg McGarrity kind of confirmed that over the weekend, an interview that he gave. He goes, a couple of years, we're going to be playing 11 out of 12 non-conference games against Power 5 schools. We're kind of anticipating the growth from 4 to 8. It's the Georgia athletic director right there.
You talking about the dude that don't want to make money off liquor? I know it's Stetton McGarrity. Nobody know anybody even think the dude don't even make no extra cash. she gave me another AD. Maybe I would have bought that.
Okay.
Yeah, he don't want to spend no cash. He don't want to make no money. He just want rich folks to pay for beer.
Well, he'll come around.
Yeah.
He'll come around. Just like the college football playoff. It's gonna take some time.
Yeah.
But it's gonna expand.
Are you an eight or four? Are you an eight guy?
No, I think four is great.
That's me.
But it's gonna be eight. Like, I don't think it needs to be eight, but it's going to be.
You think so? Why, because of the money?
Yeah.
Well, we don't want to make money off no liquor, right. So what you talking
about?
But
that's like, just like now they're restricting liquor sales. Eventually, they're going to open up to everybody. You know why?
Because of money.
More money.
Well, I mean, but this dude got it sitting right there in his face right now and don't want to take it.
He's just taking his time.
He ain't taking his time. He's being bougie.
Indeed. Greg McGarrity and
the
bougie alcohol sales.
Yeah.
We just want to get drunk, man. That's all. Just let me buy a $12 beer, okay? How hard is that?
Want to buy it? Why can't I?
We'll come back and get to the Wendy Zone. We've got more food to talk about, which is terrible because it's new. It's lunch. Wendy's going to come in here and talk about some food with us in the Wendy Zone right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
All right, everybody stand up!
It's time for a look at the world of sports, celebrities, and more. Is the Wendy Zone on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy. Time for the Wendy Zone, 11:40. Wendy Adams in studio, working mic and everything. How
it
are
works
you, Wendy?
This time? I'm doing great, guys. Before I get into some breaking Kevin Durant news, I have to start with what you teased, Andy, because when new food comes to Mercedes-Benz Stadium or SunTrust Park, I'm usually the one who gets the press release about it because I get very excited with new food and foods at ballparks.
Do they actually send you this stuff?
Yeah,
directly
I got the
now?
Press. I got the press release. And
that's
I was
so
like,
brilliant.
Say
like,
again.
Wendy has
food.
Turned her interest in all these weird ballpark foods into them. You're like the newsbreaker of this.
Honestly.
You're like the Woj of stadium foods.
If there was a Food Network show where I could just travel to each of the stadiums or ballparks and arenas and just eat food and tell people about it.
You do it.
That would be tremendous.
That'd be a great, I would watch that show. That's basically what the Wendy Zone kind of has become anyway.
Sure.
So that's perfect.
And it's going to become that today because Mercedes-Benz just announced that Fred's Meat and Bread is going to be coming to Mercedes-Benz starting this Saturday when Atlanta United faces Montreal. So if you haven't been to Fred's Meat and Bread, we should go.
So good.
It's at Krog Street Market. So they're famous for their cheesesteaks. Andy, I know, has been there and has had their burgers. But
really
their
good cheeseburger.
Cheesesteaks are phenomenal.
Where's so, that?
Krog Street Market.
Okay.
You've been there?
So it's right by on the Beltline.
I might have been over there. Yeah, I think I may have been over there. Is it over by the Ponce?
Yeah, it's kind of just a little bit south of Ponce. Uh-huh. But you could walk to Ponce from there. It's like a half mile okay. maybe. I don't know. But it's got a whole big beer garden in there.
Uh-huh.
They got Goose Dumplings is in there if you like dumplings, which obviously everyone likes Chinese food and dumplings.
Right.
That's delicious.
Okay.
Fred's Meat and Bread is in there. It's delicious.
Okay.
It's so good.
So much good food.
So the sandwich they're bringing features 10 ounces of ribeye steak, American cheese, and onions on a hoagie. It sells for only $14. It's going to be found near a cart at section 116. So if you're at section 116, I would recommend the cheesesteak this Saturday when it debuts.
God, that sounds good.
That sounds really, really excellent.
Right about now, you know what I mean?
I'm
right around
starving.
11:45. That
sounds real excellent right there.
2 hours and 15 minutes before real lunch.
I don't know if it's on the diet, though, Randy.
All right, man. I'll make an exception sometimes.
The steak is.
No, I want the hoagie. I can't. I mean, I did
that.
You can't have the cheesesteak
without
the hoagie. I had the cheesesteak and just ate the meat. And I was like, I just felt so unsatisfied.
Yeah, the hoagie is a huge part of the cheesesteak.
Yeah, the hoagie is a big part of it. So, yes, I will head over there and get me one.
And it is open on Sundays because Mike Conti asked me a very important question.
Well,
is it open on Sunday? And I said, I don't have confirmation on that, but I'm pretty confident in saying it is open on Sundays.
There's only one thing that isn't.
What?
Chick-fil-A.
Oh, yeah,
Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
Perfectly fine.
Why do y'all get that? Why do y'all get that dude attention?
Call him what you wanted to call him.
Why do y'all let dork attention? Why do y'all give? Like,
I
don't get that.
I don't give him any attention.
Like I'll squit. No, yeah, we know who does every time. But like,
you don't know who we're talking
why
about.
Why do y'all
Darren
go after that dude?
Darren Revelle.
Like, why do you care?
I don't.
Did you not see that running video of him? Anybody that runs like that should never get attention.
Did you see the video where he tried to play defense?
Yes,
basketball
like,
defense.
Like, really?
His ankles almost broke just standing there.
Goodness gracious!
He's
a damn
yeah,
troll.
It's not good.
He's a damn troll.
As long as he reports that Chick-fil-A remains closed on Sundays, people will still follow
He'll
him.
He'll be doing his job.
Yeah.
All
yes.
right. I told you about some breaking news. So Adrian Wojnarowski on Twitter announced the following. I'll read his tweet verbatim. Golden State Warriors star Kevin Durant has declined his $31.5 million player option and will become an unrestricted free agent, league sources tell ESPN. Durant and his business manager, Rich Kleiman, are in New York evaluating free agency options. So far, process has stayed private. I saw a report this morning that Kevin Durant is very interested in joining the Knicks, so maybe this leads some credence to that report.
Who reported that?
It was on ESPN this morning that Kevin Durant was
very... I
thought
you said Woj.
Well, Woj tweeted that he's declining.
You mean the Wendy Adams of NBA
yes.
The trade rumors?
Yes.
Then I saw where I think it was Mark Stein. They were talking about how, James Dolan's having a kind of reservations about giving KD the max.
Of course he is.
Such a.
Because he's an idiot.
He's a damn idiot.
He is. He's an idiot.
That's what he is. A damn idiot.
He is. He's a fool.
Now you give Kevin Durant his damn max.
Give him his money.
All right. Give him his money.
And then he'll play for you for 3 years.
I just
years.
Don't get all this. Well, he needs to go to the Knicks. He got to go. Why do he got to go to New York?
Doesn't have to
he
do anything.
Doesn't
have
anything.
To.
Why,
doesn't
can't,
have
he,
to
why
do
can't he go to Brooklyn?
He could go to Brooklyn.
Yeah, I mean.
Why can't he come to Atlanta?
Why can't, exactly.
Well,
no.
They can't afford
they can't
to
afford
do
him,
that.
Exactly.
Even if he wanted to. They probably, they literally can't do that.
Yeah.
If he decided he wanted to.
Hey, Travis. Hey, man, I think I want to come to the A. Hold on.
Sign a one-year contract.
Yeah. Hold on.
Opt right. back in.
I got to make some calls real quick. I got to get some of these guys off the team. And we're going to clear some space for you. Because if Kevin Durant calls you, oh, yeah, ain't nobody job safe.
So Alan Crabb got a DUI last night,
yes.
right?
Yes.
Yes, on can Sunset.
That, can that void the money that he's owed possibly?
I don't know if they're really going to make
know.
It.
I don't know.
As huge of a deal because he blew a .08, which is exactly the legal limit in California. He's been charged with misdemeanor DUI.
Right.
So I'm not sure if that...
Nobody got hurt, which is good.
No
but, you know, don't drink and drive. Not supposed to do that.
It's not smart.
Especially on Sunset with all them police. All them police on Sunset?
Yeah, this seems like
and you're on video.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah.
Damn, TMZ everywhere.
Can you imagine? And I think Kevin Durant did the right thing. I mean, he's going to get $150 million contract
something
out of
like
this.
That.
Can you imagine opting out of $35 million?
And getting $150?
No, I know that that's what's going to happen, but just the risk involved briefly of saying, all right, now you can keep that $35 million. I'm going to go out here with a ruptured Achilles tendon and try to get the max. And he's going to get
the max.
Get the max. I know he is.
Yeah,
I know he is.
Yeah, he's going to.
Just the act of opting out of $35 million would be very briefly difficult for me to do.
Yeah, I mean, and like yes. Brian just said,
if he, ask that
Brian,
question.
Brian just said in my ear, if he saves the Warriors, he gets the $200 million. So,
yeah, he gets the Supermax.
Like, I get an extra $50 million. And I can win more championships. I'm going to take the $50 million and more championships. I don't give a dang on what about people talk about my legacy and I need my own. Man,
you
bump
don't.
You because it's always the ones that can't go anywhere near his game to be talking about his legacy.
You don't, but he does.
Why? That's what I'm saying. Why would you care?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Why would you care?
I don't know.
Remember when,
trying to psychoanalyze Kevin
when
Durant.
When he got hurt and we came in, we were talking about, you know, did he feel pressure from the fans and everything about playing? I was like, why would you feel pressure? If he wanted to play, he wanted to play. But don't let us, the ones that don't have to put their body out there,
sure,
influence your decision.
But it is interesting that you said feeling pressure from the fans, because Andre Iguodala was on The Breakfast Club, or another radio show in the country, yesterday saying that players will actually go into halftime and check their phone and Twitter to see what fans are saying about them. So they'll check Twitter and Instagram because they want people to be impressed, so that pressure from fans could actually be a real thing.
I wish that the face that you just made could be turned into a GIF. The face that Randy McMichael
yes.
made, no one's ever been more disappointed to hear anything than Randy
he
was
said
right
that yesterday
then
morning. Andre Iguodala said that's the first thing players do when they get to the locker room, not strategize for the second half, but check their Twitter and Instagram to see what fans are saying about
if
them.
If I ever disappointed my parents to the level that you were just disappointed to hear that news, I would just have to give up.
What the hell? We're trying to get ready for a game.
I didn't say it. Don't shoot the messenger.
And you
sit
up there going to check your phone?
If you
really?
If you want to see Randy react live, you can watch us on watch929thegame.com, by the way, because that was amazing.
That just...
It's kind of like what we do, Randy, when we go to the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line and check what people are saying about us, you know, after every segment to see the harassment
I don't have the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line app.
I let those guys do it.
Sometimes, yeah.
Because I don't like to look at it.
I don't want
I don't
it.
Really
I'm
like
cool
to
with it.
I tell Brian and Wendy, just tell me the positive stuff.
Yeah, I'm cool with it. But again,
somebody calls me a dork or, like, you know, boring enough to make a meth head go to sleep.
Yeah.
Just keep that to yourself.
Yeah, I don't worry about that stuff, man. But still, like, dude, we try to get ready for a game. And damn, I guess it is all about social media.
It's about damn, what people
I mean,
think
they, it controls your in game. Like,
at halftime?
Yeah.
At halftime.
Let me read my mentions real quick, Coach. I'll be right there. Yeah, I get that. Yeah, I got a pull on that play.
So I guess that there's...
What you talking about? I didn't miss a block right then.
You're not allowed to engage on social media during the game.
Yes.
Remember when Charlie Villanueva tweeted something at halftime back in the day? Like, when Twitter was brand new, he tweeted at halftime, and then the league was like, oh, don't do that anymore. We can't allow that to happen. But I guess they're still checking tweets
to see if you're
during
tweeting
the game.
So you can't send a tweet during the game?
Yeah, you're not allowed to tweet during games. I think there's like an hour before and maybe half an hour afterwards where you're not allowed to do it.
Be kind of cool, though.
Yeah.
I'd want to see what the players are saying.
Guys would tweet.
Because if they're already checking their Instagram and Twitter.
If they were allowed to, they'd tweet on the bench.
Yeah.
That would be awesome. Like, send like a live video.
And we didn't talk about this last week. Do you think that was Kyrie Irving that called into that sports radio show in Boston?
Somebody called. He called to
to defend Kyrie Irving? As a different, you didn't hear about this? Somebody called into a sports radio show in Boston to defend Kyrie Irving.
Uh-huh.
Like, his name was like Mike in Waltham or something, but it sounded just like Kyrie Irving.
You cannot be that petty.
It might have been him.
Come on.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Get out your damn feelings.
Hey, guys,
man,
stick up for
you.
No
up.
One will stick up for you unless you stick up for you.
In reality, Kyrie's pretty good, and the earth might be flat, okay?
Did it?
No, it's not what you're
saying. Okay. I'm about to say. Yeah, that's him.
All right. We'll come back and get to the most important audio in the universe. Daniel Jeremiah from the NFL Network is going to join us at 12:20. So don't go anywhere. Midday Show with Andy and Randy right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.